Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hello, my friend, and welcome to Catch Up with Louise McSharry. With me, Louise McSharry. I hope you are feeling well and good on this day. If not, don't worry about it. Well, I mean, it's not up to me to tell you to not worry about it, but try to let yourself sink into it, because sometimes we have bad days and all we can do is just keep going, which is certainly what I am doing at the moment. I don't know, I'm having one of those weeks. I'm not feeling so happy, not feeling so chipper. So if you're there, I'm right there with you. But that's just the way it goes sometimes. I think for me especially, what I'm learning with my ADHD is that if I have a very busy week, it really gets like on top of me. My brain feels so overcrowded and I really struggle to kind of feel good or okay about anything. But that's just my personal issue. That's what I'm struggling with this week. And did I email my ADHD doctor this morning to say, well, let's talk about getting me back on medication? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I think that needs to happen as a matter of urgency. Anyway, hopefully more of you are having good weeks than are having bad weeks. Before we get into today's entertainment update, I just wanted to flag with you what our Friday episode is going to be about, because loads of you sent me the information that DCU's Anti-Bullying Center had released information about the algorithms being used by social media platforms and the fact that they were basically amplifying misogynistic and male supremacist content when it came to young men's accounts, in fact boys' accounts. Really, really troubling research, and it was quite relevant to what I was talking about with Carl the last day about my feeling that there is almost a kind of form of terrorism happening when it comes to growing misogynistic tendencies online, and you know, the growth of incel culture and anti-woman sentiment that appears to be just, you know, ramping up again and again and again. So thank you to everyone who sent me that. I'm actually going to be speaking to one of the lead researchers on that research for this Friday's episode. So I really would encourage you to tune in, particularly if you have sons or if you're just concerned about violence against women and anti-woman sentiment and misogynistic content online. I'm so looking forward to the conversation that I'm going to have with Dr. Catherine Baker. Her areas of research are primarily in this area, and I think that we need to just learn as much as we possibly can, particularly if we're parents of young guys, to try and arm them with the best information as they head out into the world of social media. I certainly am concerned about it as the mother of sons, but just as a woman as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that conversation. I think it's important that we do our best to inform ourselves. So yeah, just to say, please do listen to that episode, because I want everyone to be on the same page on this. Other than that, I don't have any major news, my friends, but there is lots to talk about in the world of celebrities this week, so we might as well just get into it. Cassie Delaney, what a joy it is to have you once again on the podcast. We have got lots of celeb stuff to discuss.
We do. It's actually been, we thought it was a quiet week, but there's loads of bits here.
Yeah, loads kind of surfaced over the last 24 hours. And of course, it's a big week because we got a new Taylor Swift album. And along with that Taylor Swift album, there was loads of gossip.
Yeah, so obviously, like, Taylor can't do anything without there being gossip surrounding. So fans immediately jumped in and were speculating who the different songs were about. Now, I'm going to call a spade a spade. I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. I'm not a fan of the album.
Are you not?
No.
How much listening have you done?
Okay, so I've done one pass through. I think some songs are better than others. I think I enjoy, like, I like the vibe of what she's trying to do. Love that it was a surprise double release. But there's nothing on it that's jumping out at me as fantastic. Like, there's a song called Cassandra and I hate it. Should be all about me.
Yeah, that should have been an open goal.
Yeah, it should have been, like, you know, she could have done anything. She could have just, like, sang my name for 3 minutes and I would have liked it better than the version of the song that there is there. I just think, I mean, I like what she's doing. It's a different kind of sound for her or whatever, but there's just, I wanted some big, big bops and they haven't delivered. What do you think of it?
Yeah, I'm not finished. Like I always say, I need a good few listens to kind of really come down on where I stand with these things. So I haven't finished deciding, but I see where you're coming from. I think it's quite a self-indulgent album. Like, I think that I'm not so sure we need 31 songs. You know, it's very introspective. It's very personal, which if you're really into Taylor Swift, I think is great. Like if you're a massive Taylor Swift fan, if you enjoy all the little Easter eggs and the seedlings and all the rest, then, you know, I've watched the reaction videos, like the fans are loving it. Like the people who really are like in. But I think if you're someone who enjoys boppy Taylor Swift, like 1989 Taylor Swift, you know, it's not going to be for you. So I don't know. I don't think it's bad. I'm not sure it's 100% for me, but I am enjoying all of the salacious details about it, because of course we all thought that this was going to be about her ex-boyfriend Joe Alwyn, who she was with for many years, but it turns out loads of the songs are actually about Maddie Healy from the 1975.
Yeah, and this is so funny because well, first of all, there's like one song on it called The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived, where she refers to a man in his Jehovah's Witness suit and says, who the fuck was that guy? Beautiful. Like, what a takedown. Like, what a stunning takedown. Because we can all, the visual of that is just, she is an artist. It's incredible.
And then, I mean, also just the balls to write a song called The Smallest Man Who Ever Lived is, I mean, it's kind of stunning.
It's absolutely stunning. And then she says, you tried to buy some pills from a friend of a friend of mine, they just ghosted you. Now you know how it feels. Like, she's out here, the most powerful woman of our generation, telling the world that Maddie Healy is basically a gimp and getting away with it. And to make matters worse, the only person that came to his defense was his Aunt Debbie, who was Denise Welch's sister, who took to the Daily Mail to say, well, she does write about all our relationships, so it's not going to surprise him. He knows what went on between the two of them. Don't think it'll come as a shock to him at all. And said he's very happy in his new relationship, so I'm sure he'll be focusing on that. Like, just so lame. He himself hasn't come. He'll probably not say anything to try and seem cool, but you know deep down his little man feelings are hurt by it all.
Well, I also think it's kind of funny because like, we don't know for sure that this is about him. Like, she hasn't named him, but it's been widely accepted that that's what it is. And in speaking about it, you're just confirming that it's him.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. But the thing about stuff like this, right, it's like the same kind of discourse that's going around around Baby Reindeer at the moment. Like, unless you are in such a powerful position here with Taylor Swift that, like, she must know that people will assume that it's him. And if it's not about him, it's very dangerous for her to put out something and allow people to assume it is about him. So, like, it must be, do you know?
Yeah.
Or else she would make it more subtle. Yeah. And she's coming for him.
Yeah.
And he's kind of this sort of bad man, tragic character anyway, do you know? Like, we've seen him sort of behave in these rogue, weird ways, but still have these adoring fans. So he seems slightly untouchable. But I'd say it's him.
I think it's interesting as well, like, that we didn't know that we knew that she'd had dalliances with him, because there was initially, I think it was about 10 years ago. And then recently, like, not long after the Joe Alwyn breakup, she was with him again, it seemed. And she performed with the 1975 and everything at that stage. But people didn't know that it had been on again, off again for all that time, which is really interesting. But, like, I kind of feel like she's outing herself a little bit in this as well, like, for being uncool,
sassy, catty, like the rest of us.
Well, no, just like,
I find it more relatable,
like the idea, you know, there's lyrics about, like, herself, like, being in bed and Tay-Say and Charlie Puth should be recognized as an artist more, and, you know, then this isn't, you know, I'm not Patti Smith, you're not Dylan Thomas, this isn't the Chelsea Hotel. Like, it's all this kind of the idea of the two of them thinking of themselves as these great poets. Like, she's kind of making fun of herself, I feel like, as well, which I actually respect.
Yeah, Oh, 100%. She knows the game she's playing. She's a businesswoman.
Yeah, she's not stupid. I mean, look, if there's one thing we know about Taylor Swift, it's that she's not stupid. And look, the people are talking, and good for them. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't finished. I'm actually going to do an episode on the album, because there's so many little Easter eggs and little secret notes and things that are coming up. So I haven't finished my research for that, but I don't know. Like, I definitely like it. I think it's more of a grower than a shower.
Maybe I need to give it more time, but it just wasn't. I wasn't feeling the vibe of it on Friday.
And that's
but
okay. Look,
it's done so well. Anyway, it's already sold over 183,000 copies in the UK alone, which has outsold the rest of the top 40 combined.
It's wild.
Previous to that, Cowboy Carter was the fastest selling album this year with 40,000 copies. So she's done 4.5 times what Beyonce has done. And she's going to now... She's so far had 11 number one albums. She's going for this is going to be a number one. And only the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Elvis Presley, and most bizarrely, Robbie Williams have ever done that before.
Yeah. Wow. I mean,
it's incredible. Her success,
it's kind of insane. Sorry. Yeah. I do think it's kind of insane. But her fans are rabid. Like, they are rabid. Did you see one of the reviews that was published... They didn't put a byline on it, because the last time they did a review of Taylor Swift, the person who wrote it got so much abuse from the fans that they were like, look, we actually can't have put our staff up for this kind of level of abuse. Paste magazine. Yeah. So they didn't put a byline on their review because they were like, it's insane. Like, it is, it's a bit much.
It is. She could have released an album of farts and it still would have been the fastest selling album of the year.
Exactly. Do you know?
And in some ways I wish she had, because if she was setting out to break this record, like, it would have been a beautiful way to do it. Just like Farts and Mouth Noises by Taylor Swift.
The thing is, that's exactly it. And like, when I did a Patreon episode about the Beyonce album by Cowboy Carter, and one of the things that the points that I was making, and I said it on this episode as well a few weeks ago, is that Beyonce and Taylor Swift have both reached a level where their fandom is so intense and they're so successful that they can literally do whatever they want and it's going to do well. Yeah. And I think Beyonce chose to do something really profound with that power, and I'm just not sure that's what Taylor did. That's okay. Like, it's her choice. But yeah, you're right. Like, it could have been literally bodily sounds, and the fans anything. Would be dying. They would be dying.
Remix nursery rhymes, and everyone would still say things like, you know, people find meaning where there is none sometimes with these kind of things as well. Mm. So it's always going to be heralded as this incredible thing, because it's compounded success. She's done genius things in the past, and she's released incredible music. Mm. But now everyone assumes it's going to be good, so people believe it to be so even before they properly listen to it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I know, having said that, I do like the album, but I do think that that's fair. Okay, let's move on.
I want a rewrite of Cassandra. I want a better song for my namesake.
Send her a DM. I'm sure she'll get on it.
No, she never responds to me, because at that time I asked her, did she want to have a joint birthday party? Because her birthdays are the same. Yeah.
Well, you, refused. I mean, look, I'm not going to lie. I think you made it a little bit weird there. Like, I can see she where she's coming from.
Fully ghosted.
Okay, staying kind of with Taylor Swift, Courtney Love was out talking. I love it when Courtney Love talks about absolutely anything. And she was giving some opinions on some of contemporary music's big stars.
Yeah, she just basically likes to... just talk shit about anyone and everyone, really. So in an interview, she was asked about several contemporary pop stars, including Taylor Swift. She had previously called her an aspirational huge role model for any young woman. But today, this week, she said she's not important. She might be a safe space for girls, and she's probably the Madonna of now, but she's not as interesting an artist. But that's not to say that Courtney Love likes Madonna either, because she says, I don't like Madonna and she doesn't like me. I loved Desperately Seeking Susan, but for the city of New York as much as her. Like, and then she called Lana Del Rey a musical genius last year, but then said she hasn't liked her since she did a cover of a John Denver song. And as for Beyonce...
Sorry, hang on. I also love that she said Lana Del Rey should take 7 years off.
Oh, yeah.
And I think her point was like, she's releasing too much, like she's incredibly talented, but actually if she released less, it would be better, which, you know, might be true. And then, yeah, Beyonce, she really, the Beyonce one, I think, is very amusing.
Yeah, I like the idea of Beyonce doing a country record because it's about black women going to spaces where previously only white women have been allowed. Not that I like it much. As a concept, I love it. I just don't like her music.
like, fair enough, Courtney Love.
Yeah.
If you're asked a question, Courtney Love is going to give an answer. And
it's, these are good answers. Yeah. Except for the, like, just slating Lana Del Rey, really. Taking 7 years off. I don't think she should take 7 years. Like, take a break. Absolutely. Take some time. But 7 years off is unnecessary.
You know, the fans are absolutely fuming about that, though. Like they are the people who have the most obsessive fans.
Oh, 100%. It's such a genius tactic from Courtney Love to get her name out there everywhere on the internet. I'm surprised she's not trending on the daily.
I love her, to be honest, because anyone who's that honest, even if I disagree with them, I'm going to respect. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about a local story. I really wanted to talk about this because, I mean, it's appalling, but a singer with the band Sprints has been talking about an experience that she had at a recent gig, and I think it's amazing that she spoke out.
It's amazing that she spoke out. It's absolutely incredulous that this has happened to her twice while on her current tour. So Carla Chubb, who's the lead singer of Sprints, has been
who are great by the way,
stunning. Who she's been sexually assaulted for the second time whilst on tour with her band recently. So she took to Twitter, I'm never going to call it X, to post a statement revealing that that she had been assaulted. So what had happened was in a sports club in Belfast on Saturday night. The band just said that she was sexually assaulted for the second time while on the Letter to Self tour. The fact that this has occurred twice is abhorrent. The fact that it still happens at all is disgusting. We will not stand for it and we will not stay silent about it. Female performers should be able to engage with their audience, step off the stage to perform without fear of groping, unwanted touching, catcalling and harassment. The fact that this is still an everyday occurrence for most women is beyond reprehensible. So like, I mean, assuming filling in the gaps here, it's what happens is she walks off stage and she's being groped by fans. But it's just absolutely mind-blowing that people find this kind of behavior acceptable. I mean, there was a note as well at the end of the statement saying that a lot of fans noticed the behavior and called it out, which is great to see that people are stepping in when something like this is happening. But my heart goes out to her, and it just seems like such a travesty that a space that is so difficult to occupy as a woman anyway, and that being just the Irish music scene and music scenes in general, and that she has to experience this, and that they have to put out this kind of statement reminding people that this is not appropriate.
But what's wild to me as well is that, like, if you're at a Sprints gig, you're a fan of the band, so why would you want to do something like that to someone you're ostensibly a fan of? Like, you know, if you have any respect for her, you would not be doing that. So that's almost more troubling to me, because where is the line then? If that's what you're doing to someone you respect and admire, what are you doing to other people? Like, why do you ever think a woman's body is up for grabs? It's just so disgusting.
Yeah, I think maybe that's probably the danger in it as well, is this excessive admiration for people in the public eye. And maybe that spurred it on a little bit, kind of someone thinking this is my chance, or I'm going to do it. Or that the idea that celebrities or performers are not people, that they're some sort of ethereal beings that are accessible to us at all times, and that we can talk about them and, you know,
dehumanize them. Yeah.
Dehumanize them, essentially, which seems to be what has happened here. And I mean, that is really, really traumatic for Carla to have experienced, assuming these two incidents were very close together, if they're on the same tour as well, and that it's going to cause a lot of panic going on stage when she should be able to freely go and perform her music, sing about her life and celebrate her success in front of her fans. Like, my heart is just like, really goes out to her. I think it's horrendous.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because as you say, like, how can she possibly step out on stage and not feel kind of apprehensive that this might happen again, or that something similar might happen? It's really disgraceful and disgusting. And unfortunately, I think lots of women have experiences of being groped at gigs. I certainly do. And, you know, appalling that it continues to happen, and especially appalling that it would happen to people who are actually performing on the stage. Like, it's just disgusting. Just do better, people. Like, it's so gross.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com. When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Unfortunately, we have to stay with a story or move to another story where people need to do better. And this one is absolutely wild. So I only really cottoned on to this in the last week or so, which is why I wanted to talk about it. But it's actually been going on for quite some time. And it's about the partner of Arsenal footballer Declan Rice. So I know you're not a big football gal, but I know Declan Rice is an absolutely enormous Arsenal like player. People love him. People like absolutely admire him. He plays really well. He's much adored. And he has a girlfriend.
He has a girlfriend that he's been with since school. So Declan Rice is basically, they share a child together. They've been together probably most of their lives since they were both 17. And she has been the subject of consistent trolling over the past year, several years really, because she does not fit the typical profile of a wag. So it's been brought up again this week because there was a particularly heinous post that was doing the rounds where a troll essentially said it was a shame that Declan Rice has low standards and chooses to be with an unfortunate woman like that, which is absolutely
disgusting.
But football fans stepped in and called out the post and called out the troll for it and, you know, have come to her defense, which is a beautiful thing to see. And people calling it out for what it is, bitter trolling. And the troll is anonymous as well, saying, you know, not even brave enough to post your own face online. Yet you feel inclined to post about others and ridicule them. You're a disgrace to this fan base. And the thing is, you know, last year we did a podcast on trolling and learned that really the people behind these kind of interactions on the internet are doing it mainly out of an egotistical need for attention as well. Like there's other things that motivate trolling other than this just being the opinion of the trolls.
Yeah.
And it is the kind of acceptance that comes from other trolls creating this sort of reaction and trying to get a rise out of people and trying to annoy people. That's the definition really of what trolling is.
So
I don't think I think it's horrendous that she's become the victim and the target of it, but I really don't think it's about her. It is about the trolls and what they want to put out into the world.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. And like, obviously, like any woman on the internet with any kind of profile, I'm at the receiving end of kind of cruel comments and cruel messages and cruel DMs and all the rest as well. But the problem is that when you can know rationally in your head that someone sending you a cruel message is not actually about you, that it's about their own issues or insecurities or whatever. You can know that rationally, but that doesn't always get through to your feelings. And, you know, the reality is that no matter what, but this has had an impact on her. She deleted her Instagram at one stage. I think it's still deleted, or she deleted all her posts or like archived them all. And, you know, that's an indication that this has really bothered her. And of course it is. Like, why is her appearance up for discussion at all? Like, she hasn't chosen to live a high profile life. Like, she is the partner of someone who's high profile because he's very good at football. And like, I'm sorry, it's so disgusting. She is a perfectly normal woman. Like, there is nothing wrong with this woman, but she just isn't a model. Like, that's the crime. She's not a model. And so as a result, this keeps happening. Like, this isn't the first time that it's happened. And I know Declan Rice has had to defend him in press conferences. He's spoken about her, spoken about how much he loves her, that she's beautiful and funny and kind, that he loves her more than anything in the world, that she's been his safe space when he's felt alone, and that, you know, he loves her and fancies her even more since she became a mother. And when asked if he ever read comments and wondered if he should upgrade his WAG, as was suggested, he replied, "My woman is the love of my life, and there is no upgrade that exists for me." Like, it's so ridiculous. It's ridiculous on so many levels, because even aside from the fact that there is nothing wrong with this woman, like, different people have different tastes. Like, why can't we accept that there is no one perfect, beautiful, attractive person? Because different people like different things. Different people like different body types. Different people are attracted to different facets of people's personalities. Like, this idea that men need trophy wives and husbands, because that's exactly what's being suggested here, is that as a footballer, your wife or your girlfriend or whoever, your partner, as a men's footballer, in fairness, because I don't think this would happen in women's football at all.
No.
But as a men's footballer, the idea that she should be like a representation of you, or like a physical representation of you, and therefore she should be a model because you're rich and successful. Like, it's just so gross. And whether it's one binary, unreasonable, yeah. whether it's one unreasonable troll or, you know, 1,000 people, it still has an impact on her at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's such a binary way of thinking, and like goes back to how conditioned we are as a society to buy into what we perceive to be good looking and what we perceive to be impressive. And this idea that other people's how impressive somebody else is our currency, you know, that like the sheer fact that you pull somebody who's a model makes you by proxy seem more impressive. And it's that trading of things between people that is so problematic. And it is awful. I feel so bad for her. I feel like there's just actually a lot of sad stories in this pop culture section.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry.
Feeling sad for a lot of people.
Sometimes it's just like this, though. And like, I don't think we can ignore it. I think it has to be called out when it happens. Because the thing is, this is, you know, poor Laura Fryer, that's her name. Sorry, I don't think we said her name. Laura Fryer is Declan Rice's girlfriend. And like, the thing about it is that this is just symptomatic of a wider culture in the way that it speaks about, respects, acknowledges, values mm-hmm. women. And that is something that impacts every single one of us. And like, the fact that you can't, you know, do anything as a woman and have your and not have your appearance be part of it, be part of how valid you are or how valuable you are in that space, is like, you know, really just devastating in 2024. And the idea of women being accessories is just ridiculous. And like, as I said, I just, you know, I'm so into women's football now, and it just wouldn't happen. It just would never happen. There's this nastiness in men's football that's really gross. And I think is the reason that I didn't follow football for years, because there's so much toxicity there.
Yeah.
It's hard, both in the fandom and within football itself. It's really sick.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's, you know, they think about women the same way that they think about the trophies, like that they are prizes and that they're there to be veered at and competed for. And, you know, it's just, it's
gross.
It's that mentality of thinking about, yeah, women's sports currency, awful.
Mm.
Will not be watching the football anyway.
No.
The men's football. I like the women's.
Same. Yeah. Not for me, the men's. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the IFTAs. That's a little more fun. The IFTAs happened in Dublin this week. They were on in the convention center over the weekend. And, you know, the IFTAs, by the time we get to the IFTAs, we've seen so many awards that we're kind of like, okay, fine. But there were a couple of big names there.
There were some big names there, like Cillian Murphy was there, you know, and we saw some of the expected big wins, right? So obviously we had Poor Things. So Robbie Ryan, he was the cinematographer on Poor Things, won, obviously. That was a big winner at, you know, the Oscars and the one before the Oscars. And then here.
The Golden Globes?
Golden Globes.
The BAFTAs? Yeah, all of them, anyway.
Immediately, as soon as award season finishes, I get so into it. And then as soon as they're over, I immediately erase them from my mind. Mm-hmm. A couple of big wins here, which were great, which I love to see. Kin, want to particularly call out Kate Dolan, who won Best Director for Kin, because Kate is a friend of mine and I think she's deadly. And also Claire Dunn. It's fantastic. And I think the thing about this, right, that really excited me about the IFTAs is seeing all these big winners and seeing the paths that they're on now, like seeing Kate Dolan, Claire Dunn, those kind of people, rising star Siobhan Cullen. These people, and even a special shout out to the best film that they may face, The Rising Sun. I got to see the preview of this last week, and it is honestly astounding. It is such a beautiful Irish film. It's executive produced by Philip King from Other Voices. So like there's certain people, I think in the Irish scene who really have their finger on the pulse of what is going on, like the team behind Other Voices, the team behind This Is Pop Baby. Like Claire Dunne did a one-woman show 5 years ago called Sure Look It, Fuck It, which is still to this day one of the funniest, most brilliant things I've ever seen.
Yeah,
Kate Dolan used to direct all the videos for Pillow Queens. Like seeing them get to this point where they're being photographed and Getty Images with their IFTA awards on it, and you know that they've done this kind of like underground scene, it just makes me really excited about the Irish arts. Obviously there's great excitement that like Cillian Murphy is there and he wins lead actor in a film, and you know you're seeing things like Alison Oliver winning in Saltburn, best international film, Oppenheimer. You know, you see all these kind of expected exciting things, but seeing names that you recognize from the bills of film festivals or small short circuits and that kind of stuff from years ago is really exciting.
I did hear that it felt a bit awkward when Emma Stone won in the actor. Well, I think, is it called actress?
It's still gendered.
When she won in the category that Lily Gladstone was also nominated in, given the fact that Lily Gladstone was actually there, I heard from people who were there that there was a bit of a... But I'm sure she was fine.
But here's the thing. I think Emma Stone's performance in Poor Things was absolutely incredible. And I support that she won the IFTA for it.
Yeah.
There are my 2 cents.
Lily Gladstone was also incredible. And she was there. I don't know. I know that's not how awards work. But like in
Ireland.
I know.
It can't work if you just sit. That's how things like this. That's how the media awards work. When you buy a table and show up, you get your award.
What?
But you, what?
That's how that happens? What are you talking about?
Oh my God, Louise, the bigger the table, the bigger the win.
Cassie, I was being sarcastic.
Good.
Okay, all right. Let's move on to Eurovision, which just is continuing to be a massive bone of contention. Obviously, our entry is Bambi Thug. And now over 400 Irish artists have issued an open letter calling on Bambi Thug to boycott the song contest.
Yeah, I think this is fair enough. So it's obviously been... we all got behind Bambi Thug when we were doing the Eurovision selection process, and everyone's very, very proud of Bambi Thug for being selected. The song is great, you know, they're a fantastic performer, but it can't be denied that the Eurovision this year is problematic. And these artists have now come together to write an open letter calling in solidarity with Palestinian people for Bambi Thug to boycott Eurovision.
Yeah.
Which obviously a lot of us had already seen the kind of literature going around about boycotting Eurovision and had decided that we probably aren't going to watch, well, are definitely not going to watch it and support it anyway. Mm. But Bambi had come out and said that they, you know, they obviously, their heart will always lie in solidarity with the oppressed. And that was kind of their statement on it. And you know, they haven't been quiet on their support of Palestine, but now the letter is very clearly asking them to withdraw and to boycott in a very, very nice way, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it says basically that we're asking you to withdraw from Eurovision 2024 to heed the call from Palestinians to boycott the competition due to the participation of Israel. We welcome that you have chosen, along with other participating artists, not to be silent. However, while you say my heart and solidarity has and will always lie with the oppressed, by participating in Eurovision, you will be standing with the oppressor. Like, I think Bambi Thug is in an incredibly difficult position. And I actually think, you know, there was a previous letter that was written to Kevin Backhurst, who's the director general of RTE. There's one petition that was more than 16,000 members of the Irish public who asked Kevin Backhurst to withdraw Ireland's participation from Eurovision. Like, I actually think put the pressure on Kevin Backhurst. I think that Bambi Thug is in an incredibly difficult position. And I think all of the artists in the competition are in a very difficult position. And I think, you know, really, they should never have been put in the position in the first place, because first of all, the EBU shouldn't have Israel there. And second of all, if there's a decision that's to be made, it should be made on a national basis, I think, rather than these individual artists being put under pressure.
Oh, 100%. I think the reason they've done this, you know, to Bambi Thug is just that this is the most significant and visual way that they can raise issue with it again. I think that people are more not more willing to read this, but this is gaining a little bit more traction because A, Bambi Thug is so visually stunning and the photographs going around again. Every time you see them on social media, you click into something, it's like they're just deadly looking. And then also I think it's just a refresh that the idea of petitioning, it's getting closer and closer, obviously, to the time of Eurovision. And this is just another tactic. I don't think Bambi Thug is going to be the person making the decision. But it is unfortunate that it puts them in this really between, you know, a rock and hard place.
Yeah, 100%. Like the EBU should, they just, Israel just shouldn't be there. And that's a decision that should have been made at the tippity top. And now all of these artists are in an incredibly awkward situation. And I feel for them, to be honest. I don't think it is black and white, actually. If you've invested a lot of time and money into making something happen for yourself, I can understand why it would be a difficult thing. Even though,
and it's incredibly difficult. It's like the Irish artists who pulled out of South by Southwest. You know, it's an absolute privilege to be in a position where you can make decisions that affect your career based on your moral standing.
Yeah.
Obviously, everyone, it would be great to say that we could all do that, but some people can't. Some people still have to work with brands or work in places that have connections to Israel, and they're doing their absolute best to survive.
Yeah.
You know, and this is an amazing opportunity for Bambi Thug, and it is so heartbreaking that they're being forced to make a decision when they should be able to just celebrate.
Well, yeah, because first of all, this shouldn't be happening in the first place. Like, let's just be honest. Who's the real problem here? We know who the real problem is here. We know that this shouldn't be happening. It should have stopped a long time ago. Secondly, if it is continuing, then it should have been decided at a very senior level that Israel should not be there in the competition. It's that simple. And now, unfortunately, it's people like Bambi Thug who are at the receiving end of stuff when really the problem is Israel, let's be honest, and the actions of Israel. Okay, very quickly before I let you go, there is an announcement coming for Electric Picnic this Friday in terms of the lineup. I was just highly amused by the fact that they haven't said anything, which is weird. And secondly, that there is only one act which has been announced, and it is Cassie.
Oh, I have no. You're gonna have to tell me now.
It is the Timahoe.
Oh yeah.
The Timahoe.
It's just Forget
a Hope. Hang on now. God, my computer's gone mad. Hang on a second. The Timahoe Male Voice Choir. That's the only person that we know who's playing Electric Picnic. Well, Kneecap apparently said that they're playing as well. When they were on the Late Late, they said that.
No, like that's got to be an Easter egg for something like that. No, it couldn't be Taylor Swift. She's doing 3 days in July or June or whatever. I don't believe that they're real. I think they could be a secret act. Here's the thing with EP. They've been so delayed in getting this lineup out. And it's been frustrating for people because obviously I think it's sold out, as it usually does. Sells out kind of.
Well
just
in advance.
After,
yeah.
Well in advance. And then they announce the lineup usually before the summer. It's usually the first weekend of September, but because they're celebrating the 20th anniversary of it this year, which is shocking, nothing has ever made me feel more old. It's on the 16th of August, and we do not know who's going to be there.
It's wild.
It's wild, but I think it's going to be a big year because it's the 20th anniversary. They're going to. I was preparing to make a joke and be like, they're going to bring back Snow Patrol, but Snow Patrol actually played it like 3 years ago. So
I would love if they got everyone who'd like ever headlined it to play this year. That would be amazing because there have been some really good people.
There's been some amazing people. I mean, you'd have the likes of Lana Del Rey back. What I would really like for them to do is bring back the Oxygen 2007 lineup and pop that on the stage. That's we had like the Strokes and like, remember the Magic Numbers? Like that'd be a vibe. My ideal EP lineup this year is that they just fill Chapel Roan for every slot and you can just like go in and watch her in small groups
I would love that.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, the Timahoe Male Voice Choir is real. They were singing at the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Portlaoise. I believe they just kind of accidentally leaked that they were playing and accidentally became the very first person to confirm. They said, we're all looking forward to it. We'll make sure all are entertained. Good for them. I hope they have an absolutely great time. They're from only down the road and they deserve to be there. Okay, Cassie, I'm going to let you go. Where can the people find you?
I am all over the internet at Cassie Lorraine, and I am on the Creep Dive every Tuesday. I need to get it out today, actually. There you go.
Thank you so much, Cass.
Thank you.
That's all from us now, but thank you so much for being with me. I really do appreciate it. And I hope you will come back and listen to that episode on Friday. I'm so looking forward to it. As I said, I think this kind of research is really, really important and we need to amplify it as much as possible. In the meantime, I hope you have a good week. If it's not a good week, we'll just put one foot in front of the other and we'll be back together on Friday. Thank you so much to Cassie for bringing us the updates today. And thank you so much as well to Acast for having me on the network. I will talk to you in a couple of days.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.